If you do have a business or if you're starting a business, one of the biggest roadblocks that I've found is almost that mindset piece of how do I actually do this? And being around other like-minded people, having a community of business owners and a community of other solopreneurs, entrepreneurs that you can talk to. Because the thing is, when you've got your business, and you know this, I'm not telling you anything that you don't know unless you're about to start your business. But for those in business, guess what? You know that the problems that you have in your own business, most of your friends will not appreciate because they're not fellow business owners. So you need to get to the stage that you've got your people who get you and you've got your mindset clear. So it's two things. There's this whole accountability thing and this whole community thing that you need when you're in the trenches of business. I've got people that challenge me on my own mindset to get out of my own way and take risks and all that. So you are in for a treat today. Today, we're talking with Jess Williamson. She's a business and mindset coach, and we're going to have a lot of fun. I would say she's a serial entrepreneur, and she's got an addiction. She's got a problem, and that addiction is business, and we're going to have a great chat with her today. My name's Glenn James, and this is Business.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Jess, welcome to This Is Business.
Oh, thank you. And thanks for exposing my problem right there in the intro. Now everyone knows.
You're kind of like me. Like you see something, you start. And you've got a big story. You've started multiple businesses. You've got a book that's coming out. You've got an event schedule all around Australia for the tour that we'll get to that. But I want to kind of walk through your journey from like, you know, you've got over 7 years in business. You're effectively 30 years old, about to turn 31 at the time of recording. Five businesses. You've had thousands of clients that you've helped. So we'll get to that. But as it right now, what do you do?
Yes. Okay. So I mentor other female entrepreneurs on their journey through simplified business strategy because I don't believe we need to burn out and hustle and always do more to actually achieve the success that we want. But I also love diving deep into the mindset because ultimately, if we're the ones driving the ship and our mind's actually in control of us, then we need to work on our mind first.
Yeah. So that's kind of your core business at the moment, and you've looking in, you've moved to a more of an online, scalable, service-based model from physical stuff. But how are you mainly, I guess, helping people at the moment and making money yourself? Like, are you doing one-on-one coaching, ongoing coaching, online courses? Where is the business at there?
Yes. So I have quite a few different income streams. Majority of it comes through my one-on-one mentoring, as well as I have a membership model, as well as some courses. And so I have a bunch of different offers because different people are at different levels and they need different levels of support. So that's how I work with my clients. But I also do in-person events and retreats. I actually have one coming up in Greece in June. I'm so excited for that. So I kind of just pull in all of these elements. And then, you know, for me as a personal brand, sometimes there's sponsorship deals or speaking gigs and podcast and, you know, all of these things. And basically I say to people, I literally get paid to be me. Like my brain, me, I get to show up and that's how I get paid.
That's so good. It's funny as like I've got a similar kind of business model to you, but I don't do much, you know, one-on-one stuff. I won't. It's too hectic. I'm big picture guy. Yeah. But then again, some of these business episodes I've been doing, like I did one the other week, it was like a mentor session with some people starting out their business. So,
yeah.
And we got to record that, which was cool. But a lot of people ask me, like, how do you make money? And I'm like, any way possible, baby. And as long as it's legal and ethical, I'm all about it.
Yes.
So it takes a bit to get to there. And I think where you're at now with your business and perhaps where other people want to get at, there is this journey of working the risk muscle and taking this big risk, right? Because if we rewind back to maybe one of the hallmarks of your first successes around the fashion industry and physical products, like I think in terms of a mindset, sometimes that's easy because it's like, well, we design these clothes, swimwear, whatever it is. Yep, we can see it, we touch it. Now we sell that. Now we get as many people to sell it. And it's this physical product. But I think when we go online, where there isn't anything as tangible, you know, we deviate from that safe, quote unquote, business, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, every business has its pros and cons because when I was starting my swimwear brand, not one part of me actually ever thought about maybe it's a seasonal product and people buy one a year and people want to try it on in stores and you're selling it 100% online and like people have body conscious challenges that they don't want to wear a suit. So it's like, didn't think about any of those challenges. But from a mindset point of view, it was 100% less barrier to entry because I wasn't putting myself on the line. It was the designs. It was the brand name. It wasn't me. Whereas now in my personal brand, if someone has a problem with my offering, it's me. It's very personal, and even just allowing myself to put my name out there and be seen, and that took so much work because when I started my first business, I didn't even put my name on the About Me page. I was like, I know what I can do, but I don't want anyone to know it's me. I'm going to stay hidden behind the scenes and stay safe.
Here's a question on mindset, which, you know, you love talking about. How did you get to that point where it's like, this is actually my personal brand and me, and someone might not want to buy one of my products when it was swimwear, but now, like, how do you deal? Like, I remember when I first started, like, the first negative comment you got from somebody about the podcast, it just ripped me because I took it so personally. Like, so how did you, and maybe how do you coach people, your clients, to really build that resilience when they are such a consumer-facing brand and slash person?
Yeah. So for me in the beginning, it was like facing my own fears. There wasn't even any evidence of haters or anything, but I was like, okay, if what I have to say today can help just one person, then it is worth friends from school thinking I'm an idiot or like full of myself or whatever they might want to think. And so for me, it was just one foot in front of the other. And over time, I built up the confidence and the resilience. But even deeper than that, when I started to get people writing posts about me online or, you know, going to town on me personally, what I had to start to look at was what parts of me am I rejecting? Am I rejecting the part of me that could be seen as arrogant or a bitch or whatever it is? Because we all are going to be seen as these things through someone's lens. So I actually had to say, okay, part of me that says, hey, look how successful I am is going to inspire someone, but it's also going to make someone say she's an arrogant bitch. So I had to say, okay, let me love on that part of me, because reality is you could be Taylor Swift, you could be the nicest girl in the world or guy, and someone is going to hate it. And I found that particularly for females, I found this narrative that everyone wants to see someone win until they become too successful because it mirrors back their insecurities. It mirrors back where they're not playing big. And so then people want to bring you down.
It's weird. And I like, at the risk of being cancelled, I'll say it anyway. But so I've got a friend and she's a very successful Australian and international podcaster and, you know, huge, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk all the time and some of the crap she cops, I don't get that.
Yeah.
Like it's weird. It's so weird. And yeah, I don't know. That's maybe just a comment.
The worst part is most of the time when I work with clients, because I work predominantly with females, for myself and for my clients, it's mostly other women trying to rip them down.
Yeah.
Like I had a client the other day have someone blast her on the internet all over the place just because she was wearing a high-end ball gown in her photos to elevate her brand. Like, amazing. It looked incredible. She ripped her to shreds because no one else in the industry was wearing that. It just makes no sense. But it's oftentimes I find females that rip on other females.
Yeah. It's so weird. It's it is an interesting thing, this whole mindset journey, because no one is above it. And I think you said the A word before, arrogance. I've resolved that, yes, Glenn James could appear arrogant. And I was thinking more, it's like, am I actually arrogant? And, hey, I could be. But I've resolved some people maybe get confidence and arrogance confused.
Yeah.
Because I'm very confident with what I do. I'm a go-getter. You're not going to love everything I say, but yeah, I don't know. It's a wild time. But I think what I've done in my own journey, because, you know, similar to you, it's not as if we're running these businesses that are like a box kind of packaging company where it's like a B2B play and we just sell cardboard boxes and who knows who the owners are. Like, I've resolved that Glenn James is one of the main products.
Yeah.
And when I do events for like other podcasts, or if I get speaking engagements, the Glenn James, I don't love in my natural self, you know, introvert, love doing that. But I've had to flick the switch and go, no, I've got to wheel out the product. The product is going out there, and not everyone's going to like the product. So that's how I've kind of differentiated.
So you've almost created like an alter ego, like separated yourself somewhat from.
Okay, maybe I've got some clinical issues, but that's how I've kind of just split it.
No, it's
like I've got
mindset,
to send the product out there.
Yeah. It's a good mindset to separate the pieces and parts. I definitely am the same. You know, I'm very introverted. I haven't thought about it in that way where it's like I'm the product over there and I'm Jess at home over here. But I definitely, you know, you have to step into state. You know, if you think about someone on stage, they're not walking around on their daily life talking like that. You know, like we're not bringing that much energy when we're in the damn supermarket or trying to relax at home. So you kind of have to have different elements. Doesn't mean you're inauthentic either. It's just like I'm bringing out this part of myself when I need to.
Yeah, that's cool. So the swimwear company, like, do you think out of all the businesses that you created and sold, like, what was the most financial successful one for yourself?
Well, my one now is definitely the biggest financial success, just getting paid to be me. But the swimwear was definitely the other one because, yeah, I grew and scaled that. Most of our customers were in the USA and I had, you know, my warehouses and then ended up exiting that business and someone in the USA took it over. So that was definitely the second most financial if I look at the whole history.
Yeah. And did you always have this plan to kind of build the business and exit, or was this like, oh, I build this, it's taking off. Actually, this isn't for me. And I started to do this mindset strategy thing on the side and that kind of took precedence. What was that nexus between now and then?
I definitely had no clue that I would have ever wanted to exit, you know, when you start. And I almost feel like if you're starting a business with the purpose to exit it, are you really that into it? And like, can you really go through those challenges if you're always wanting to get out of it from day one? So I don't know how that works, but for me, I was all in. I was like, I'm going global from day one, no experience, no clue what I'm doing, but here we are, we're going big. And so I grew it for 5 years, scaled it. But at that time in 2019, I was running 5 businesses at once and I was like, I can do it. Should I do it? Probably not. And at that time, I hadn't worked as much on my mindset. So I was burnt out, adrenal fatigue, my health was suffering, like I was a shell of a human. And I thought, I have to check in and say, like, what is success to me? And it was no longer running all of those businesses. But also I'd achieved what I'd set out to with the swimwear. And I was like, kind of done that now, you know? So I thought it's time to hand it over to someone else.
Yeah. So I resonate, and I think all business owners, you know, if there's a Venn diagram, we cross over a lot. And I've kind of, you know, been through the same journey, and I ask myself now with opportunities and other things, I always ask myself, at what cost?
Yeah.
And all the money in the world can't actually make you less stressed.
Yeah.
It can't actually unwind you overnight, can't make you sleep better. If you've got all the plates spinning. So you've got to ask yourself, everyone, when you're in the trenches of business, a new product line, a new little shiny object and a new opportunity that comes knocking at your door, you know, were you seeking that opportunity? You're allowed to go, no, thanks, I wasn't after you. Just because you've knocked on my door, it doesn't mean I have to do it. Because you've got to ask yourself, at what cost?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, for me, I'm like, I could pick up any business, maybe not be the best at every, but I have interest in so many different things. I'm like, cool, I have all these things. But I'm like, is that taking me towards my purpose? Like, yes, I could make a few bucks from it, but is it truly in my soul's desire to do it? And sometimes I think you have to try. Like, I had to do those five businesses to end up here. I didn't just wake up and land here today. But yeah, I often find when my clients come to me and they're like, Jess, I've got a new business idea. I'm like, yeah, but are you just doing that because you're not happy with where your current business is? So you're looking for something else. Maybe that's the solution to the success that you want. Or is it truly what you desire, what you want to do and the impact you want to leave on the world?
Yeah, it's fascinating. What do you reckon for your own business or mindset has been the greatest learning for yourself throughout the journey?
Oh, the greatest learning. Well, the greatest learning for me was really owning who I am. And not taking, you know, everything personally, or if people are projecting onto you, or, you know, whatever it might be. Because in the early days, I had so many insecurities of, what if people think I don't know enough? What if they expose me? What if they, you know, think this about me? And I was always trying to mold myself, and therefore my insecurities were shining through in the way I was showing up. And then, of course, people reflected them back to me. And then, of course, I got triggered the hell out. And then I had to recover for like weeks because I was so triggered by them reflecting that insecurity back. So that would have been the biggest piece, because I feel like I've always had a really good mindset of, right, I'm going to start a global swimwear brand, have no experience in the fashion industry whatsoever, but here we are and I did it, you know? I've never had a problem with believing big shit can happen and I'm capable of it. But for me, it was like, personally, becoming more rock solid in who I am has been the biggest piece.
Yeah, awesome. And with, I think, you know, if someone was listening who are, I don't know, in the trenches, they've had their business for, we'll say 5 years, 3 to 5 years, you need to really get over that hurdle, yeah, to say you're going to be around, and they're just doing the thing and they're not sure what they want to do. They're waking up each day not enjoying it. They kind of love it and it's just a bit stale. Like, do you have any advice or tips for people who might feel trapped by their own making in their own business?
Yeah. So I always say, because quite often we feel stuck because we're trying to find the right answer, what we should do. But it's like, actually, let go of all the expectations that you've put on yourself. Let go of all the expectations of what anyone around you thinks you should do. And just ask yourself, like, if anything that I decided was possible and everyone was fine with it, what decision would you make? Because sometimes we feel stuck if you've got employees, you're like, oh, I can't let them down and things like that. But you're really kind of letting them down and yourself down by continuing something that no longer feels aligned. The business is probably going to go to the ground anyway over time because you've got no passion for it. So I always just ask, you know, if it was guaranteed, whatever you decide was going to work out, do that, because you make it work out, really. Like, there's always a way to make it happen.
Yeah, that's good. In your current business, like, what has been one of the challenges that you've had maybe over the last 6 months, or you're living in the challenge at the moment, and how are you navigating a way through that?
Yeah. So the biggest challenge that I'm having right now is actually probably launching my book, because it's like the best thing that I'm doing. But it also means that 90% of my energy is going towards a book that doesn't really make me money, right? And so I'm pulling my energy away from my core business to promote and sell the book. And so therefore my core business, I'm like, oh shit, but now I've got to be over here. And so for me, it's like that real juggle of making sure that my core business continues to tick over, that I continue to show up for my clients in that way, whilst also promoting my book as much as I can. Because I guess, you know, back in the day when authors launched books, they were an author. That was their job, to promote the book. Whereas now we have a business, we have that. And so whether it's launching a book, whether it's having a baby, whether it's getting married, whether it's going on a holiday, I find that that's sometimes the biggest challenge. It's like, I so badly want to be over here running my core business, got big goals, but then I'm being pulled in this direction where I also want to be. So for me, it's really juggling that. And I worked so hard when I hit that burnout last time, years ago, to build a level of freedom, to build the boundaries in my business where I'm like, I'm not burning out again, but now I'm probably at capacity in terms of my time again, which I'm like, okay, I know this time is going to pass, but I need to maybe just build in those moments of real self-care. So I've been going to bed at 7 p.m. Not even kidding.
Wow.
I'm like, Okay, if I really am here to show up in this way in the day more than I usually would, then I need to prioritize myself. Because what I didn't do last time I burnt out was I didn't eat properly. I was like too busy to eat, you know, let me just grab whatever I can grab. Didn't exercise, didn't even get out of my pajamas most days when I was burnt out before. It was just like open the laptop, computer all day, and then go to sleep and start again. So that's kind of how I've been navigating that and this busier period.
It's funny because when you're a business owner, you can mask a lot of stuff because you don't have accountability really. Like you set your own schedule. And for me, like one example was with a recent ADHD diagnosis and getting medication, it was really hard. Like I could mask it because if I didn't feel like working, I wouldn't. And it was just like, I don't feel productive. So as a business owner, we can mask stuff. And me speaking, I'm a recovering, what's the word? Excusinist. Like I've always got excuses.
Uh-huh.
And it's easy to have excuses. But like we might say to employees, you can't outsource your own personal problems onto your employer.
Yeah.
Like you've got a responsibility to be going to bed at night, showing up alert and awake and on, ready to work. Much like the business owner, we can't outsource anything to the employer anyway. So we actually have to deal with it.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, when you go through that phase, you're like, yes, starting a business. And then you probably quit your job. And then you're like, oh my gosh, so much freedom. And that lasts like a couple of weeks. And then you're like, oh shit, where'd the freedom go? And so for me, it's like boundaries, boundaries, boundaries. One of the first things I actually did when I was like coming out of that peak burnout, well, firstly, our body doesn't know what to do. Like our body is used to pumping yourself with adrenaline, like knowing how to, you know, survive that way. So it's hard to decondition. But the first thing I did was set a feel good Friday because I was like, sure, I could try and have an afternoon off here and there. You're never going to, right? You get on the computer in the morning, you keep going and then you never stop. So I was like, Fridays are my feel good Fridays. No laptop, no work, no nothing. Just what do I need to feel good? And sometimes on those super busy weeks, I was like, okay, what's really stressing me out? I need to just action this task. But usually I was like, all right, I need to go to the beach or I need to like just sleep on the couch and watch Netflix or whatever it is that I needed to recharge. And that was the best reset because sometimes to get out of a habit, you have to go far in the other direction. Now I don't necessarily, you know, need the feel good Fridays and I just kind of have that flexibility, but sometimes we need that shake up and that real big jolt out of feeling stuck and repeating the cycles.
A lot of your clients, well, if not all of them, and I think the answer is yes, all of them, because you said it, are women, okay?
Yeah.
70% of my listeners are women and, you know, I am doing more of these business episodes as a Saturday bonus and then we've got the individual podcast called This Is Business that we're going to just catalog these episodes just over there. So if someone just wants business stuff, they can go there. One of the greatest, if not the greatest joys in life is having a baby.
Mm.
And if you're self-employed, I mean, surely that's a big fear and a big issue for a lot of your people that they want to start a family, but they're running a business.
Yeah.
And it's funny. It's like, we'll just have the baby all work out because it's been happening for hundreds of years. So, you know, we're not the only, but that's cute. But when we're living in it, how do you coach people through that process when they are running a business and need to take time literally out of the business?
Yes. So I personally, I'm going to add a disclaimer, haven't had my own baby, but I've worked with so many clients around this because I work with a lot of people who are already mums and maybe they have three kids and they have that and then they have their husband and they have so many things going on in their lives. But one of the best examples, one of my incredible clients, she was a photographer. And a lot of her work is if she's not photographing, she's not getting paid. But she actually found out she was having a baby. It was a bit of a surprise. And she was like, oh shit, you know, if I'm not working, I'm not getting paid, my business is going to completely stop. And so what I actually did with her was we pivoted her entire business model to an agency model because she was calling in high-end clients who had large budgets. And the norm in Sydney at the time was photographers were getting paid like $20 an hour. That was the norm. Whereas she was calling in clients for $2,000 to $20,000 jobs. So we pivoted her entire business model to be an agency, which gave her more purpose. She was like, cool, I'm calling up now the industry to pay people what they should be paid. So she then could pass all of that work onto people in her agency. Her clients were happy. They were happy. And the first month of her having her baby, she did no work, no photo shoots, anything. She made $17,000 profit for her.
Wow.
So this is the cool part around being able to pivot and adapt. And I know that when I, you know, have that time that comes, I've pretty much set up my business to allow for that. Like right now I'm birthing a book and I know it's not the same. I'm going to acknowledge that, but like I'm birthing a book. So I'm putting 90% of my energy there, but my business still works. So I think we can also think about it in that sense and what can we put in place. But then from a mindset point of view, it's really comes back to like, I've even had these fears come in where I'm like, oh shit, you know, am I going to have to put my ambitions on the back burner for a while? I don't know what's going to happen. You know, it changes you. So I've even had these fears, but I also think, again, I come back to that question. If anything was possible and it was guaranteed to work out, what would I want the outcome to be? And if that looks like me getting to do my incredible work and being present, then how can I make the question? And that's the question. What do I want and how can I make that actually the reality?
Yeah, that's awesome because it's like we've got this thing that's happening, which could in our mind feel like it's going to be a disaster. How do we flip it and change before we have to and pivot into something new? And you know that you've had to hire the extra person for the last year anyway. Flip and hire the extra person, get them on the sideline. So when you want to take a couple of freaking months off or 6 months off with your baby and family, the wheels are in motion already. So
yeah, I actually spoke to a friend yesterday and she said since she's been pregnant, she had those fears, but she said since she's been pregnant, her income has like skyrocketed. The abundance, like it's just, she was like, this was somehow an energetic gift. Like something has shifted and it's just like skyrocketed her business as well. So, you know, anything is possible. And I think we've been taught and told by society that when you have a baby, you as a woman need to stop. And I think it's deeply ingrained in like our subconscious around years and years and years and generations of conditioning of that's how it works. But I think, you know, we live in this era where we get to decide how that looks for us. And if you do want to stop your business completely, then that's also a choice, you know?
Mm. Could not agree more. Your way of doing things are your way.
Mm-hmm.
No one else's business. Hey, we'll take a quick break. And when we get back, I'm going to ask Jess what the biggest roadblock is for someone who wants to start a business. And we're going to talk about her book, Unstoppable Success, right after this.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com. Click get help and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Rightio, we're back. I want to ask you a little bit about the book, and we will in the short time we've got left, but I'm really aware that, like, there is a high percentage of people in my community who listen to This Is Money who want to start the side hustle, who want to quit their job as the XYZ employee and do the same thing, XYZ, for themselves. What do you think, and if you look at aggregate all your customers or clients, what do you reckon the biggest roadblock is for people to actually start and take action?
Yeah, 100% mindset. Like, the doing is easy. We live in an era, you've got Google, you've got AI, you can Google, you can figure it out, you can make it up as you go. But the reason why people don't start, or even if you've already started, take it to the next level or start that next thing, is because we're wondering, like, what if it doesn't work out? And I actually believe there's no such thing as failure. There's no such thing as what if it doesn't work out. You decide either way. So for me, 6 months into my first business, I was invited to New York Fashion Week, which was wild. I'm like, here I am, not even a designer. Let's go. But I also was hitting peak burnout and I emptied my entire life savings. And I could have said, that's it, give up, I'll stay at my job. But I actively made the choice to say, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to double down on the selling. Now I've really got to sell some shit. You know, I got to double down. And it's a choice either way. If I chose the other choice, doesn't mean it's a wrong choice, but it just means, hey, I value safety and security more than making this goal happen. So ultimately, if you want it to work out, it depends how willing you are to do the things to make it work out, because you can find a way. But then if we're talking about just starting, for me, I had no experience. I could have waited till I had experience. Like, I never would have got experience if I didn't just do it. And I had so many ideas. I was like, I love fashion. I like homewares. I was like, swimwear could be cool. And I had so many ideas. And I remember driving home one day and I was like, just choose one. I was like, swimwear done, whatever. Didn't overthink it. Launched it, grew it for 5 years. And now we're here. You know, I think do before you think. Just do it.
Yeah. And totally. Like, and usually what happens, I mean, for me, it was the case. For you, it was the case. When you start your first business, you don't end up doing it, but you do it and you just get moving and you just adapt and grow. And one of the things I wanted to just let everyone know, and I'll bounce this off Jess as well, we all get scared of doing stuff, right? And we think things are risky. Now, I believe, and this is just what I've used in my own life, the risk part is the execution. Now, to lower the risk, which is the upon execution. So it's like, oh, I've got to quit my job and start a business. That's risky. Mm. No, step back. It's not. But the actual execution part is the risk, where you say, I quit and then I start my business. Now, to lower that risk, it's to get information. It's to be prepared, yes, to learn. Know your enemy. Like, let's, and the more information we have, the less risky it will be, because we're educated, we're informed. And all these risks and fears, remember fear, false evidence appearing real, let's write down our fear. What if I don't get a client in the first 2 weeks? Okay, well, we're going to wait and save 2 weeks worth of income more and then start. That fear is reduced. Yeah. So the risk is the execution. Before you execute, try and get as much information and as much data on the table as possible.
Unless you're like me and you fly by the seat of your pants and you just leap and hope for the best.
That's right. But, or do that.
When I was going to quit my job, I was like, oh, I hate this job. Every day I would drive there and it was impacting my mental health. I was like, hate it. Wish I could quit. I kept wishing. Like, what the freaking heck is wishing going to do? And then I stopped and I was like, wait a second. What am I wishing for? What am I waiting for? Like, someone to give me permission, someone to say, hey, you're allowed to quit your job now? And I was like, okay, so if I'm the only one deciding this, what is the worst that can happen? And I was staying at that job because I thought, this is a decision that I'm making for the rest of my life. If I quit, I could never go back. And these were the narratives going through my head. I could bloody go back if I wanted to. I could get it. And at that point, I was like, looking out the window, I could see Hungry Jack's or McDonald's outside. And I was like, you know what? If it doesn't work out, I'll get a job there. Like, it doesn't even matter. You know, I can get a job, I can make money in other ways, but I need to just give it a go. Like, why am I putting all this pressure on myself as if I could never get a job in my life just because I quit once? You know, it's wild, but our brains work this way.
Oh, it's so wild. Because I had the same things, like, what's the worst that could happen? And I really leaned into that. I was like, okay, the worst that could happen is I could call someone for my product or service, they could say no, then they could come to my house and literally murder me. That's the worst that could happen. So if they just said no, oh, that's better than getting killed. Sweet.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. The thing. Our brains don't know the difference between a threat of being killed and like the threat of quitting our job. It's just like Our brains are so hardwired that way. But it's like, Am I going to die? Is anyone around me going to die? Probably not, because you quit your job. So I think you're safe. Let's do
it. Now, Unstoppable Success, your new book, it's coming out in May. Yes. Just a random question from Glennie J. Did you have a publisher or self-published? What was the journey to book?
Yeah. So I started writing a book a couple of years ago, and I was like, you know what? I could self-publish, but I want to get a publisher because I just don't want to deal with the distribution. So I'm going to get a publisher. And something about me and something that I've kind of branded, I'm like, I play in fantasy land. I am not a writer. I'm not even much of a reader until I started reading business books. But you know what? Here I am. I'm going to get a publisher. So that was the first step. I just decided, because most people don't even try. They're like, no, couldn't even get published, not even going to ask them. So then I pitched to every single publisher in Australia because I was like, it's a numbers game. Let's just go big. But I landed a publisher and I was so excited about that because really when I wanted the purpose behind this book, I could sell it to my community, but it's like I'm already impacting my community. You know, I wanted to impact people wider than that, and I knew that the words in this book were going to change people's lives. So by having that distributor, it's going to be all around the country, which is going to be really
love
cool.
That. Who's the publisher?
It's Big Sky Publishing. So They're really awesome female-led publishing house.
Yeah, that's sweet. Now, what do you think, you know, if someone was to buy the book, like what is there a key message that you want them to take from that book, or is there a series of exercises? Like what can we expect with Unstoppable Success?
So I've weighted it heavily in practical action steps. Like every chapter has practical elements, but a lot of it is based in deep mindset. And this is a level of mindset. When people talk about mindset, they're like, oh, positivity, growth mindset. No. Get ready to explore the depths of your brain, because like this is what the book is going to be unlocking, because ultimately the doing is easy. So I take through practical steps, but nothing that I have done that's got me to here has been that complicated. We just tend to overcomplicate it in our own minds. So we're going deep in the mindset, and I take no responsibility if you decide to take on the world after reading this, because you're going to be like, let's freaking go.
That's awesome. And you're doing some live events around the book. So we'll make sure that this episode gets up before then. Talk to us about the live events. It's a book launch. It's a chance for people to meet like-minded people, learn. Talk to us about the events.
Yeah. So I was like, let's just go everywhere. So I'm going to Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, and Perth. Sorry, Adelaide, Darwin, Tasmania. Maybe next time. But basically, I want to come all around the. Yeah, oh, Canberra. Forgot about that. Sorry, Canberra. But basically, the way I'm doing it, it's not like your typical book launch where you go to a library and you read a book. Like, I'm not going to be reading to anybody, but you're going to come. We're going to have fun, mingling, food, meet some like-minded people. Women in business. And then I'm going to do a session. Each city is actually going to be different. So if you want to come all of the cities, then amazing, because it's going to be different. But I'm going to do a session where I leave people with a tangible piece of value that they can take away and create their own unstoppable success. So it's going to be so much fun. And yeah, come along.
If someone isn't in business, is it still going to be beneficial?
Yes. Basically, if you're someone who wants to achieve some pretty cool stuff that everyone in your life or everyone in the world would probably think you're crazy for, and you're like, I'm going to do it anyway, then you should definitely be in that
and
room.
Like, and this is the thing. I was dreaming of having my business for years before I started a business. So if you think you've got a business in you one day and but you just want to do some, because we've got to do our time, everyone. As an employee, you got to do your time. You got to, you know, we're not all fortunate enough to leave school, start a business and then become billionaires, you know, go to events like this, be surrounded in that ecosystem, because in 2 or 3 years' time, when you do start your business, you're going to remember stuff that I learned from Jess at that business event in Melbourne 3 years ago, and implement it, and it will change your life if you let it.
Yeah. 100%. Like you said at the very, very start of this episode, you know, surrounding yourself with those people is the key.
Absolutely. Well, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for your time and jumping on today. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I think there's always space and time for a good discussion around our own mindset, what other people think, how we're doing things in our business. And more importantly, if you do have a business and you're listening now, you're not alone. Like, we have the same struggles as you, but we might have them at different times, and you know, you might have a bigger scale problem. You might have a small, like, we get it. And we'll put a link in the show notes for the book Unstoppable Success. Give it a read, be encouraged, take action. Jess, is there anything finally that you want to say that I may have not asked you or anything like that?
Oh, look, I think we could be here all year if we, you know, if we try and unpack everything that I would love to chat to you about as well. But honestly, if you have a desire, if you have something on your heart, in your mind, just start, because once you start, you cannot stop. It's like binging a Netflix series. Once you start, you can't stop. And it is the same with your goals as well.
Love that. Okay, friends, thank you so much for listening. This is Business, and thanks, Jess.
Thanks so much.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work, and pay respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast. If you are interested in furthering your education around money, your career, or property, we have 3 books that might help. Check out Sort Your Money Out, Sort Your Career Out, and Sort Your Property Out. Find these wherever good books are sold or via the link in the podcast show notes. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination, and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorized representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.